Max Steffes from the Steffes Group here to remind you about our upcoming land auctions featuring thousands of acres of farmland, including 417 acres near Gardiner, 576 acres south of Carrington, 302 acres near Park River, 107 acres near Lignite, and 316 acres near Foxhome in Barnesville, and a million bushel grain handling facility in Campbell, Minnesota. Take a look right now at steffesgroup.com, and if you're considering selling some land, we'd love to visit with you and tell you how we can help. So get in touch with us at steffesgroup.com.
Hey, thanks. Welcome back. Farm Talk in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. It's that time of the show where we take a look at the markets and from North Star Commodities down in the Twin Cities. Mark Schultz joins us. Hello, Mark.
How you doing up there?
Well, we're getting ready for a big old storm here, and I guess the storm down in the southern plains kind of helped the cattle market a little bit today, but what happened with the rest of the grains?
Well, let's start with the corn. I think you had to see maybe just end of the month sell-off, but if I had to make a guess, that we started most of the sell-off for the corn was led by the wheat market, which closed anywhere from 14 to 25 cents lower. When we saw prices to take a kind of a nasty dip in over in Europe as well with both corn and wheat, rumblings were that the wheat prices on the world wheat actually went lower to get some Egyptian business. They lowered it, and then the by the Egyptians was less than what everybody was anticipating. So it kind of left a negative tone in the market. You saw a market that did a correction, probably a little steeper than what I was expecting, what most people were expecting, but kind of pulled over into the corn market as well. Tomorrow we start a new month, so I think you want to kind of keep focus on what happens there. The soybeans, on the other hand, strong performance there, finishing anywhere from 16 to 20 cents higher and new highs for the move. We actually technically took out a resistance level, which is 1485, and I think we've got falling production issues over at or down in South America. That'll be watched closely. Of course, we'll have the report next week on the estimates, but we're getting some pretty low production estimates coming in out of South America, and that is giving the support to the beans, which eventually, I believe, will cast over and give some support to both the corn and the soybean or wheat market.
Yeah. Well, are we playing the South American soybean limbo game here? How low can we go, do you think?
Well, we've already heard estimates in Brazil getting down, more people navigating towards 130 million metric tons. They produced 138 million metric tons last year, and the USDA currently has them pegged at 139. But there's also some well-respected private analysts down there that are down as low as 123, 126, 128.
Wow.
And those are some pretty significantly low production numbers. And if that really is where we're headed with production in Brazil, the U.S. is going to have an awfully good crop, and you're going to have to plant a lot more soybeans to make up for the shortfall that is taking place in South America.
I'm always amazed at the folks up around the Langdon area who are so adept at converting tons, you know, the Canadian trade in the price of canola per ton, and they know right off the top of their head what that means for hundredweight. But what does a million metric tons mean for U.S. bushels?
Well, a million metric tons is generally right around, just call it in ballpark, of about 36 million bushel. So if you start dropping things of, say, another 10 or 15 million bushels, you're going to take 360 on upwards of close to maybe 500 million bushels off. So if you start looking at 400 million bushels and decide how much extra soybean acres we might have to plant here in the U.S. to make up for that 400 million bushel shortfall that they could be experiencing in addition to what already has happened, you divide that by 52 bushel per acre on the bean yield here in the U.S., and you'd come up with about between 7 to 8 million more acres of beans. And that's going to be a tall order to do.
Man, I guess that is amazing. Well, but that means just one thing. The upside potential for beans is significant. And we are now about to enter the buying of the acres period for U.S. commodities. So how do you see that playing out over the next 2 to 3 months?
Well, you're absolutely right. In the acreage, and of course, we're going to have the insurance price set for the wheat. We'll have the insurance price set for the soybeans and the corn in the month of February in here. So I think the new crop prices, especially in the corn and the beans, are going to stay pretty lofty. And the beans, it's going to be the race for acres. And, the beans probably have to go higher, and or you've got to get to a point where you start rationing demand on the soybean products and beans themselves. And you don't do that by going lower in price. So generally, my guess would be is that any type of a setback is still going to find some pretty good support just on ideas that this crop is indeed getting smaller. If the beans continue to move higher, you're likely going to start pulling away some more out of either spring wheat or again, in new crop corn. I just don't know that there's enough acres around in which to do the big increase in beans that are going to probably be needed to make up for the shortfall that we have in South America.
The rumors of problems between Russia and the Ukraine and a pending invasion, things that have lessened a little bit, but I understand the weakness of wheat today was primarily due to some moisture coming into the southern plains. Do you see wheat taking off at all?
Well, we do see more moisture coming in, and it's something that when we went home on Friday, the moisture was going to stay more to the eastern side. But it looks like that system is going to start up a little bit further west than what people had thought. I don't think there's a lot of dryness concerns in the eastern half of Texas, the eastern half of Oklahoma, or even the eastern half of Kansas. Everything going east of that is generally okay. It's not what I'd call severe. Well, I don't think we got an abundant amount of moisture, but we're okay. But if you go west of the western half of Kansas, Colorado, western half of Oklahoma, western half of Texas, that's where the dryness is still the issue. Now, keep in mind the wheat is still dormant at this time. Probably doesn't come out of dormancy until maybe March of early, maybe middle of March, someplace in that time period. That's when I think things are going to be more crucial where we are with moisture. This helps out for right now, especially the fact that its snow cover potential certainly is going to be better than having the rain in here as it goes through. But we had a lot of making up to do, but for right now, it's not that crucial yet on the moisture, not until we get into March. Then it becomes much more important.
Okay, very good. Mark Schultz, North Star Commodities. How do producers get a hold of you guys there to talk marketing?
Well, if they'd like to talk with us and visit or see what type of programs that we offer, they can call us at 1-800-345-7692.
Gotcha. Well, Mark, have a good rest of the week, or have a good rest of the month, and then a good rest of the week, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you very much, Ben.
You are very welcome.